Hi, I'm Jessica Rubino, Vice President of Content at New Hope Network, and I'm so excited to be here talking about Expo East and specifically what brands need to know to get noticed by retailers. I had the opportunity to talk to three retail experts about this very topic during Natural Products Business School. They provided wisdom about what it takes to leave a lasting impression on retailers, how to get those coveted meetings, how to strengthen relationships long-term, and how to make sure that you're effectively telling your story at Expo East and beyond. There were also some fun insights around what not to do. I spoke with Jasmine Rocile, buyer at Turnip Truck, Edgar Vargas, director of growth and new ventures at Villore Foods, who previously spent 10 years at 7-Eleven, and Robin Brett, Director of Purchasing at Kimberton Whole Foods. Let's hear what they had to say during our interview at business school. We'll be talking about Expo and how to prepare and what buyers are really looking for. So let's kind of start with the basics. I'd love to hear from each of you, have you share a little bit more about your roles and your past retail experiences and current. So Jasmine, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, okay. So I came to the business fresh out of college and was very attracted to the whole body at Whole Foods and kind of convinced myself that that was where I needed to be. And ever since that time, the industry has taken me like head over heels. I have fallen for so many of these brands and so many of these stories and so many of these practical ways to connect old and new kind of thoughts and modalities together. So I worked for Whole Foods for a while, moved to Nashville, and found my local community natural grocer, the Turnip Truck, and instantly knew that this was the place for me. And I've had a few different roles in this particular place. I've been a clerk, I've been a manager, I've been a buyer and a category manager. So I've kind of seen it all. I know what it's like to be on the floor, talking to customers, working with customers, talking to the, you know, the number side of it, talking about business health as well, and kind of trying and trial and error, seeing what the customers want here in our community. And I feel like it's given me a really well-rounded approach to how I look at products and how I, you know, digest what they would do for me as a business and for my customers. So I've been very happy with this particular job and this particular region too. It's not as, you know, crazy as it was in the West Coast. So I feel like I've developed a lot of great relationships with my vendors and my representatives and my brokerages in a more meaningful way than I may have in the West Coast. So that's where I am right now, and I'm continuing to grow and I'm continuing to look for what this industry can offer and do next.
Thanks so much, Jasmine. Thanks for sharing your journey. It's interesting to hear about all of your different types of experiences and different roles that you've held in the retail environment. So, you know, your insights will be very valuable to our brands here today. We'll hear from Jasmine more in a minute. And let's jump to Edgar. Edgar, you've recently switched roles, so I'd love to hear about that as well as your past experience at 7-Eleven.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. The business school is very near to my heart. This is kind of, it was my first event when I was at 7-Eleven. I want to say 5 years ago in my new position back then as a merch lead for the 7 Ventures team. But so again, love to be part of this event. Yes, Edgar Vargas. I was with 7-Eleven for 10 years, and very similar to Jasmine, held different roles, you know, from district manager to national merchandiser for center store to category manager, regional category manager. And then the last 4.5 years, got a chance to join a team. The Seven Ventures team was essentially had a chance to invest in CPG brands and then truly help them grow inside of the 7-Eleven system, which, as you all of the brands know, convenience is a very difficult channel to get in, let alone 7-Eleven is probably the most difficult because of the franchise system. Because of my background, my role was more of almost like an operating partner to those emerging brands that 7-Eleven would invest some dollars, and really had a lot of fun. Again, similar to Jasmine, kind of getting to know those entrepreneurs. I was an entrepreneur myself many years ago. And so there's that direct relationship, if you will. And because it's not easy to grow a brand, whether it's inside of 7-Eleven or outside in the different channels. And then in this new role, I will have a chance to do the same at a different scale. Now, as a director overseeing or starting actually a new venture funds with this distribution company in the US. And the plan is to, for those emerging brands who are interested in growing their presence outside of the US, to help them do that. But yeah, it's exciting to be here.
Well, thank you so much, Edgar. We've so appreciated your support of Business School and your presence at Expo in both your past and now current role. We're really excited to see what you do. And thanks for lending all your insights to this group here today. Finally, we have Robin Brett from Kimberton Whole Foods. Robin, thanks for being here. Would love to hear a little bit about your background.
Sure. So yeah, Robin Brett, the purchasing director at Kimberton Whole Foods, and similar to the others, I've done many things over the years. It's my family's business, so pretty much jumped right in after high school, and that seems like a very long time ago at this point. So a wide-ranging experience working in our stores, from, you know, team member to department manager to category manager to store manager. Done a lot of different things and settled on this purchasing position maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. So yeah, I have the ability, you know, to have the experience working at all levels, which really helps me with the purchasing side and working with our team of category managers, knowing really what the customers are looking for, knowing the operational challenges that come with every decision we make. So that's really been the part of my job that I've enjoyed a lot. And we've grown a lot. We have set 6 stores with our 7th one opening in about a month and a half, which is really sneaking up pretty quickly on us here. That's been an exciting time for me. And I know it's been a crazy few years for everybody in the industry, but I've really enjoyed that ride. And hopefully, you know, we can keep growing in this challenging time ahead. So it's great to be here. And thanks for having us.
Thank you, Robin, and congratulations. That's very exciting to see that type of growth now. And I'm sure with that also comes the need to be connecting with lots of incredible new brands that you'll be seeing at Expo. So that's kind of where I want to start, is just a question for all of you. When you're at the show, there's so much going on. There are so many great new companies and products. What is your approach for kind of trying to see as much of it as possible, or make sure that you're seeing and connecting with the right brands? How do you go about doing that? Maybe we can start with you, Edgar.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because I think this is going to impact great conversations. I think there's different ways you can approach. If you're a buyer, you know, again, I was a buyer for 2.5 years for packaged foods. And then as a former merchandising lead for Seven Ventures, my role was to essentially to look at the marketplace and look at all the CPGs that are trending and then bringing those into our stores. What I can tell you is that it's that you got to have a plan. And that sounds oversimplistic, but you truly have to have a plan. So if you're looking for functional beverages, as an example, and you got to be even more specific than just functional beverages. Maybe it's, you know, a good trend, or a trend that we all see in the marketplace is gut health. So then what I would do normally, I would start by creating a list that will basically take me to those companies that play into that role. So that's on the buyer side. And from there, you know, I would just divide and conquer with my team and start having those meetings. I think on the brand side, it is also very important to target those big players and spend time. One of the funny stories that I have with going to Expo is that I would see that some of the founders would spend a lot of time talking to, let's just say, a distributor or somebody that, you know, that perhaps it's, or a friend that they just saw, and then they just taking all the time from all the other good conversations that you could potentially have with, you know, potential buyers. And that's not, you know, done by purpose. It's just, you know, the way that the show is. You want to meet as many people as you want. But if you have a clear plan, if you have a list of the companies that you want to hit, and by the way, if you did your research and then you go on LinkedIn, try to find connections and people that are going to go, or maybe even have people that, you know, a friend of a friend that could connect you to the individual that you want to talk to, that makes a lot of sense. When the show is only one, two, three days, and then there's so many people that are attending the show. So I would put everything into different buckets. There's the retailer side, there's the distributor side, there's the investor side. And then the last thing I would say is that it's the events outside, right? Business school is a great, I mean, I've met probably one of the best, you know, founders that we actually ended up investing. And it was at business school. I got a chance to meet Walter Robb. Robin, you probably know him already at business school. So connect. That would be my advice.
I love it. Thank you, Edgar. I think that I'm taking notes too, even for myself. It's like after all these years, I'm like, oh yes, plan ahead, manage your time, and then be open to those opportunities to make the right connections and those serendipitous moments. But I think we've all learned the hard way that not planning ahead can, while make for some really amazing experiences, also, you know, prevent you from some of those things that are important and that you need to get done. So thank you. Great tips from the pro. Jasmine, Robin, any thoughts on that, just like kind of how you're approaching the show and what you'll be doing and thinking about this year in particular?
Sure. I can chime in on that. I was talking to our buyers about this, you know, ahead of this call here. And one of the things that they all agreed with wasn't necessarily how we prepare. And it was, you know, asking the question is what is the vendor and the brand, what's the best way for them to prepare for a successful show? And I think pretty much all of my buyers agreed that making sure that you have a person that, you know, with some level of expertise at your booth. I know that can be challenging for a lot of different brands, but someone that really knows the product and knows, you know, the distribution of it and knows the ins and outs of the deals and the promotions. Again, that can be a challenge, but we have found that brands that prepare that and bring that to the show and bring that to the booth, when a retailer comes up and, you know, says, oh, I like this product, you know, is it available to us, for the person at the booth to know, yes, it is in distribution in your area in this exact warehouse. And yes, we do have active SKUs, and here are all the deals that are available for it. Here are some EDLPs that we could talk about. I know the whole deals and promotions and EDLP piece can sometimes move to a separate meeting or email follow-up afterwards, but having someone that knows about the product and, you know, might say, oh yeah, it's in distribution, but they don't really know where it's in distribution and if there's even active SKUs at that time. So that's one of the things that we found that has led to the most success more immediately. And we've had faster follow-up is when the people that are presenting the brand at the booth are able to engage on those topics with, you know, more insight and expertise. We're not needing to strike a deal right then and there, you know, and get the product in the next day. But when we have people that can, you know, get a lot farther down that pathway instead of really not having that, any of that information, that's something we found from a brand stance has led to a lot more success for us.
Thanks, Robin. I think that that's such a great point. And, you know, when companies have other people staffing their booths, and even in those cases, absolutely critical to make sure that anyone that's at the booth has all of that information that buyers are really looking for. So back to that, like, coming prepared and having all the right information on hand, ready to go. And I think from our perspective too, whenever we're meeting new companies and our Nexty Awards and all those things that we do, it really shines through when you know, people know what they're talking about and are really well versed in the product and the company. So thanks, Robin. And Jasmine, I'd love to take like a little bit of a different approach to that question. Some of the things that I know are really important to you relate to the sustainability attributes of products and in the health and beauty category. That's so, in all of our categories, that's important. And I know that's a big priority for you. So what are some of the ways that brands can kind of tell that story and share the information with you that communicates what their mission is and their sustainability efforts are?
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a very important thing to think about because we are in the we're in the capitalistic consumer market, and so we should do it well and with respect. So I feel like a lot of our customers in the natural channel have already had in mind to do a better thing, to do the right thing for their body and for their families. And so I think we've reached a really good threshold with what we know is healthy and what, you know, diets work for us. And I think the next frontier or the next edge that we can have in the natural channel is providing things that not only do good for your body, but do good for the planet. You know, this is a huge part. This is a huge part of the industry right now that we use products, we use packaging, we use resources. And so I need my brands to tell me how they're doing it better for me to make sure I'm investing where I need to invest as a small business and as a kind of like, not a small business, but, you know, in the bigger business too, you know, how we grow. So I would like I'd like to walk the floor first of all, and like get like a really good like impression of what's out there, and then approach the brands that are telling me these stories. Like, this is how you could communicate to me when you're presenting your booths. Are you a B Corp certified? You know, do you, not only are you sustaining good practices with your products, but with your people too, like sustaining good employment? Are you carbon neutral or carbon negative? Do you have an opinion about that? Do you have that in mind when you're approaching your business? Do you invest in regenerative agriculture if you're using any sort of crops or any sort of plants? If you're using any sort of agricultural farm kind of resources, are you thinking about how to be regenerative so that you can, you know, make sure that your product can survive another 70 or so seasons of harvesting, you know? Are you thinking about your packaging? Less plastic, no plastic. Is your plastic post-consumer use material? Is it from ocean plastic? What is your opinion about that? What is your story about that? Are you preferring to use glass or cardboard where possible? We know not everything can be in cardboard. Not everything can be in, like I can't get a jojoba oil in a cardboard packaging. That just won't happen. But I would like for my brands that I invest in to show me that they're willing to invest in the market itself. You know, we have to think about how to keep this going for the long run. And if I vote with my dollar on a personal level, I want to vote with my dollar on a business level. So I know my customers want that as well. You know, we have incredible local products and we have incredible, you know, greener practices in our business. We have 2 LEED certified buildings for the Turnip Truck. And I know that that's something my customers are looking for. And it's something that I think I can tell in a more meaningful way, in a more competitive way than my, you know, my mainstream competitors. So, and that does really help me kind of sustain a recession, you know, because I think that people would like to be more mindful about where they spend their money when they do spend their money. So I need my booths to kind of already have that in mind. If that's your angle, then know about it, talk about it, show it with your banners, with little signs, with the people there. They need to be not only mindful of the deals that they can offer and the promotions and the, you know, the dollar edge. I need to know about their sustainable edge too. So I'm going to ask those questions and they should be ready for that.
I love that, Jasmine. Thank you so much. I mean, that list of questions that you outlined, I was thinking like every brand listening to this should be taking notes and be prepared to answer all of those questions. I think it's great that you ask them. I think it's refreshing that you approach the show floor in that way. And even some companies that you weren't familiar with prior to Expo, you're open to having those conversations if you can clearly see that they're investing in these areas and prepared to answer those big important questions about how they run their business. So well articulated. And I know you mentioned recession as well. Interesting perspective on, you know, consumers will scrutinize kind of how they spend their dollars, but that doesn't mean they won't be investing in, you know, the right types of companies. If anything, they'll prioritize their health and environmental health and companies that are doing good business. So we'll hear a little bit more about that topic later today in our H2 session that'll talk about the economy. Thank you, Jasmine. So awesome. I want to shift gears again. We have a little less than 10 minutes, so much to talk about. So Edgar, I want to hear from you. We've chatted a lot about the importance of kind of building these strong relationships and some of the ways that you've seen that successfully happen through Expo. Can you talk about, from a retailer's perspective or distributors, what brands should be doing to really like think about relationships first, as opposed to maybe selling first?
Yeah, I think a common theme across any trade show is, you know, how well you're able to tell your story. Because again, we're at the end of the day, we're selling our story, right? Brands are selling their story. And that becomes very important, right? So, and then you're going to have to like craft your story in different ways, right? So it's going to be the story that they're going to tell 7-Eleven or Villore Foods is going to be a little bit different than what they're going to tell Jasmine and what they're going to tell to Robin, right? So you got to be really good at having your story right, and then being able to mold that story depending on your audience. So it starts there. That's how you start building a good relationship. But I think it starts, again, I'm going to be very big on this. It starts by being self-aware of your company, being self-aware of you, and then doing the due diligence before the show. Who are those individuals that you want to meet? Who are those companies that you want to meet? And then essentially, once you get a chance to meet the person, do follow up. I mean, it's you would think that everybody follows up with an email. and also know, right, on this side, you know, we get hundreds and hundreds of emails on a daily basis just from like things that need to get done at our jobs, right? Not to mention like the different pitches and all that. But I think here in this panel, we genuinely love what we do. So we're going to take the time to like follow up with you and make sure that it's a genuine follow up, right? Make sure that you're able to connect with the individual, whether it's like, if there's anything that through the conversation, something that came into like commonalities, we'll mention that, right? So the little person will be like, oh yeah, that was Jasmine from, you know, she loves, you know, functional beverages, whatever it is. It's really find the time to first prep, and then second, target those individuals and companies that you want to meet. And then third, follow up. Very, very important, and do it in a way that you're able to reinforce the story. So that to me has been the most successful way for brands to kind of follow up with us. And as of today, again, I continue to stay in touch with those connections that I made through the years.
Awesome. Thank you, Edgar. I do think that's so important. It's about keeping the conversations and the relationships going beyond. And certainly that follow-up is absolutely a key part of that. Robin, I would love to kick off. I think we'll do like two kind of quick fire rounds before we wrap up and have you start us off with what's something that brands should not do from your perspective at Expo?
Well, there's one obvious one. that I think we all agreed on when I talked to my buyers is don't talk negatively about, you know, your competition and the other brands. We still hear it a surprising amount. Oh, this is why we're better. These people, they don't know what they're talking about, or they're not really sustainable. It's like, maybe you're right, but it just puts a negative air, you know, out there. And it's something that I think as humans, we could all, you know, always try to keep in mind. And I know when we get to that sales, you're just trying to make that sale, it can become easier to say, well, this is why I'm better than this person. If you are better than that and you know, the numbers show that and your product is better, that's great. And you can promote yourself, but without degrading someone else. Cause that, yeah, it just puts a not a good feeling into the conversation. So that's the first thing. And one other thing that we've kind of struggled with, and it goes back to the having expertise at your booth. It's, you know, don't overpromise, but say, oh, I'll get the best pricing and demos. And yeah, we're in distribution in your area. And then, you know, a month later, the deal never works out because you weren't in distribution and all the things you tried to, you know, put out there to hook somebody in actually weren't the case, which also leaves a negative, you know, kind of taste in our, you know, in the retailer's mouth saying, well, we tried to work with this person, but they actually weren't able to follow up. So overpromising and under-delivering, while it can seem like a good idea to kind of get your hooks into a retailer, is something that I would recommend people stay away from. It just, you know, being honest is definitely the best way to go about it.
Love those two tips. Don't trash talk your competitors and don't overpromise and underdeliver. Awesome, Robin. Thank you. Jasmine, what should brands not do at Expo?
I think about the year that we started to incorporate like a scan code in your badge. And I just remember having to turn my badge over at a certain point in time because people who I had who haven't even introduced themselves would come to me with their scanner and then scan me and then try to talk me. But it felt like an assault. Let's respect each other's personal like information and, you know, use it well and not irresponsibly. And I know that none of us feel all of us have already an inbox overflowing with emails. And so when they take your badge and take your email and then just like keep hounding you afterwards, I think that's very disrespectful. So yeah, and it's about building a better connection. That doesn't start a great connection. You know, we want to be human with one another. And I absolutely agree with the points that Robin and Edgar brought up too about, you know, it's about communication and it's about brand diversity, not necessarily just brand pride, you know? So yeah, I agree with all that.
Thanks, Jasmine. And Edgar, you're last up. What not to do?
I'll take a different approach. I think it's important to do those things that you shouldn't do, and then you'll quickly find out, and then hopefully you're able to pivot. I think that's the purpose of the show, right? Go there, make mistakes, but the most important thing, learn from them, right? Whether that is like turning somebody's badge or approaching a person in the wrong way. I hope that if you made it to this far to have your own business and you know, get to an important show such as Expo East and West, that you have also you know, the audacity to learn from your mistakes and also to learn best practices from peers too. You're going to have neighbors next to you and you'll see like what it takes for other brands to be successful in terms of like, you know, bringing people to their booth, having meaningful conversations. I would say I'm in a different camp, like make mistakes, go out there. You're going to see people that are not going to like certain things. And then hopefully you're able to build an approach that works for you and your brand. And then each situation is going to be different, but I would just go there and make sure that you hit your head on the wall many times so you can learn.
Thank you, Edgar. And I think that there's tons of mistakes to be made. So at least maybe brands can just avoid the ones that Jasmine and Robin mentioned and then make all those other ones and learn from them. So awesome life advice, really, from all of our speakers today. So thank you so much, Edgar and Jasmine and Robin. Thanks again.